Welcome to the Hospitality Mentor Podcast. I'm your host, Steve Turk. Join me as we dive into the personal stories of some of the world's best hospitality professionals. We follow the journey of their ups, downs, and wild turns to find out what it truly takes to make it in the amazing world of hospitality. Listener, if you're running a hospitality business, you already know the work doesn't stop. And most of the time, it's not even the guests that wear you out. It's everything happening behind the scenes. That's why I'm really glad to introduce you to Lodgify, our sponsor for this episode. Lodgify is an all-in-one platform that helps short-term rental hosts and hospitality operators stay organized without needing a dozen different tools. You can manage reservations, keep your calendars synced, communicate with guests, and even collect payments all in one place. And if part of your goal this year is to drive more direct bookings, Lodgify also makes it easy to build your own website so guests can book directly with you. Plus, and I love this one, they include free onboarding so you're not figuring everything out on your own. If you like to spend less time managing the chaos and more time focused on hospitality, try Lodgify with a 20% discount on all their yearly and bi-yearly plans with our code THM20. And that's THM20. Now, back to the show.
Welcome to another episode of the Hospitality Mentor Podcast. And today, listeners, I am very excited for this one. I have Sean McCarron, General Manager of the Conrad Orlando, with us today. Sean, thank you so much for being here.
Yeah, Steve, thank you for having me on it. It's an honor.
Well, to get started here, we start every single podcast the same way, is what was your first job in hospitality?
My first job. So my first job in hospitality was a management trainee program outside of hotel school at the Ritz-Carlton in Pentagon City. And they placed me as a bartender as I was in the program.
That's amazing. And so when you were doing that, it sounds like you were in school for hospitality. Was that something you always wanted to do growing up? Was that what you did, or you just kind of fell into it by accident?
No, actually, I did some soul searching while I was in college because I couldn't find a major that was, you know, sticking to me. And you know, I soul searched, you know, thinking about what are the things that I really love to do in my life. You know, I had very supportive parents that came from Europe, and they, you know, they've taught me travel, and I was able to travel quite a bit to go home and see family out in Europe for basically my whole life. And that really said, well, geez, maybe I should look in the travel industry. And I did, went to hotel school in Switzerland, and it was the second day of class. And that was it. I said, you know, this is what I want to do for my future.
That's amazing. So you start, you said right away outside of Pentagon City, and you're with a great brand, with Ritz-Carlton.
Yeah.
And so you're there really in the heyday of Ritz-Carlton.
Yeah.
What was it like? Because I never got to work for Ritz-Carlton, but everyone I talked to that works for Ritz-Carlton really believed in the credo. Is that what it was like when you were there?
Oh, absolutely. Very much so. You know, ladies and gentlemen, serving ladies and gentlemen, the credo and the culture and the passion around it. And it's really the luxury delivery. I knew coming out of hotel school that I really wanted to have my career focus on luxury. And that's what I did. I've only worked in the luxury field, not only with Ritz-Carlton, with Four Seasons. I ran the Waldorf and now here at the Conrad. So for me, luxury was really the focus of making sure that I had a fulfilling career. And there's nothing more than agonizing over the details from a luxury perspective and ensuring that, you know, you're wowing guests that are difficult to wow.
Yeah. And so tell me about that. Because you started in food and beverage. That's where I started. And I remember clearly how I made my choice. Was there a choice for you to make? Like, oh, I got to go to front desk or food and beverage. What was it for you that you got into food and beverage and started your career?
Yeah, it was food and beverage. I've been passionate about food and eating in restaurants for my whole life. As I mentioned earlier, I spent a lot of time traveling through Europe with my parents as we go back to not only visit family, but then we would do sub trips. And always it was me trying to check out a different kind of a cuisine or a different kind of restaurant. So I knew while I was in school, I food and beverage was the direction I wanted to go. Started there and kept there all the way until I started running hotels completely.
Yeah, so let's talk about that, because your journey is an interesting one. You make a couple of stops with Ritz-Carlton. You go to Boston, you're in Buckhead. And so what was that like moving cities? Was that something you knew that you were going to do, that you wanted to? Because a lot of people are like, man, I don't want to really leave my city. I like where I am. But how was that decision making for you? Was it just something easy to do?
Well, if you're in the travel and hospitality industry, then chances are, and hopefully, you want to actually travel and see different places. So for me, it was always about getting out and seeing different things and different cultures and, you know, experiencing in different languages and different cuisines from all over the world. So yes, for sure, travel and moving comes along with that. I mean, I've moved, I think, 12 times in my career from all over the country, a few different spots in Europe, and never stop. I still want to continue to travel overseas and throughout this country as well, and up into Canada and down in South America.
I love it. And so as you're working at Ritz-Carlton here, you're at Buckhead, you're the banquet manager, and then you make a change, right, to the competing luxury hotel in the same role. And so some people may say, well, like, I don't know, I move laterally to another company. What was your decision-making like when you had to do that? Because you get to work for some great brands going from Ritz-Carlton over to Four Seasons. But what was that decision-making like? Did you follow somebody? Did they recruit you? Were you over it at Ritz-Carlton? What happened?
Yeah, kind of recruited. I had a colleague that I worked for at the Ritz whose husband, who I was actually very good friends with, worked at the Four Seasons in Midtown, and said, hey, look, we've got a position coming open. It is a lateral move, but it was a different company. And at the time I thought, well, you know, why don't I give it a try? I've been, you know, almost 6 years with the Ritz, and I know I wanted to continue in luxury, and this was something that was a little different. I left Ritz with, you know, very good standing, and knew that if, you know, my travels got me back to it, I would certainly have an opportunity to do that. But I went to Four Seasons, absolutely loved my time, 16 years with Four Seasons, you know, continued to travel, open hotels, and, you know, progress through my career all the way up into hotel management.
Yeah, it's interesting, because as banquet manager, you could have made that decision like a lot of banquet managers. I just want to be a banquet director, collect those white envelopes filled with cash. I'm going to stay that way. But you decided to keep moving up, and you moved over to Chicago. Was that always in your mind? Like, I want to move up to be a GM, and these are the path I'm going to take, is become an assistant F&B director and then director of food and beverage?
Yeah, I think I probably compartmentalized it a little bit more. You know, as I was coming up through food and beverage in my career, it was really about, okay, what's my goal? My first goal was, I want to learn all I can about food and beverage and become a food and beverage director. And then once I got into, you know, running food and beverage as a whole, absolutely the pinnacle of my passion, I loved it. And then I started to, you know, be exposed to different areas of the hotel, and really, you know, started to spend a little time with my counterpart, director of rooms in Boston. And that was really the kind of the tipping point to say, well, I want to continue to grow and learn how to manage not only food and beverage, which I was very familiar with, but learn a little bit more about rooms and sales and marketing and revenue and all of the other aspects of running a hotel, and decided to go on the path to run a hotel. And then, of course, you have other goals that come into play. So hotel manager and then GM ultimately.
Yeah. So when you're director of food and beverage, that was the highest level I got at the Lowe's Miami Beach Hotel before I hopped out into entrepreneurship. But as I was director of food and beverage, I remember I had some mentors, and I was talking to my GM, and at a corporate level, did you have people like that kind of coaching you on and saying, all right, this next hotel is going to be yours. Just focus on these goals. Is that what it was like?
Yeah, absolutely. And I think that's one of the things I say to the team all the time is, you know, especially when I look at you know, newer into our particular hotel here today, but in throughout all of the hotels that I work at, is that, you know, nobody falls out of bed and is a GM, or falls out of bed and, you know, becomes a food and beverage director. There are lots of steps along the way, and there are mentors that help you along the way to get to those goals, and gives you, you know, they give you feedback, they give you things to focus on and work on. And I believe truly in a senior leader role, that's our job then to give back and to develop the next and the upcoming generations of those that are passionate about hospitality and hotels and food and beverage, if it will, or you know, running a hotel for that matter.
Yeah. So as you're going into that role as hotel manager for the first time, was it overwhelming to you in Baltimore at Four Seasons? Was it something that you felt like, oh man, I got in over my head? Or was it a size and ups where you could figure it out? What was it like at that very kind of first year that you were doing it?
Yeah, well, it was an opening. Let's tie that in. And openings are their own animal and, you know, take on their own workload and trying to take something from nothing and really build it into a full-fledged hotel and training and hiring and, you know, building these relationships, not only with your team, but also with guests. No, I felt actually, you know, there was a lot of work for it and along with trying to open a hotel, but that challenge has always burned inside of me. I love a challenge and I love to be able to push myself and find different ways to you know, utilize what skills I have and developing new skills. And again, developing teams as we, in that case, opened a hotel together and how do we develop them to watch them grow? I think one of the most rewarding parts of any senior leader's job is when they see someone that is on their team find their goal and, you know, get that promotion and whether it's within the hotel or, you know, a different hotel within the company, but to see that and watch them develop and grow themselves, as you said earlier, that young banquet manager, that first job, that's that feeling when you do get the promotion and remembering that and being able to ensure that you're providing that for, again, those future generations, I think is probably the number one part of what we do on a daily basis.
I love that. I think that's great advice for any leaders out there listening right now. And so as you're opening Baltimore, you do a good job there. How do you end up now in Vegas? Is that something that you're chasing down or is the company come to you and say, hey, we're molding you. You got to take your next step out here and come out to Vegas. What are those conversations like at that level?
Yeah, I had opened the Baltimore property. I was there almost three years and just wanted to see what else was out there and kind of asked my mentor, who was a senior vice president within Four Seasons that I reported to. And he said, well, okay, I think you're ready to take on something else and gave me a call and said, hey, this is opening up. Would you be interested? And I said, sure. I'm originally from the West Coast, so getting closer to the West Coast for the first time in 20 years sounded like a good opportunity to explore and maybe, you know, have an opportunity to see some of my family a little bit more frequently. So yeah, Vegas was a lot of fun. Talk about one of the epicenters of hospitality and hotels. That's one of the biggest of them all. And so I thoroughly enjoyed my time in Las Vegas.
The food and beverage, I'm sure you were enjoying some of the food and beverage around that city. What was it, just on my own curiosity, what were some of your favorites when you were there?
Oh my gosh. Well, I will tell you that the thing I loved the most about Vegas was pick any celebrity chef that you can think of and they are there. So going and getting to experience any of their, you know, their cuisine and how they, you know, they develop and put out through their restaurants was fascinating. And so almost every week I'm like, okay, when am I going to go next? And, you know, being in the hotel business in a city that's large, but small when it comes to hotels, there was a lot of connections that I had and ability to be able to go try a lot of new restaurants and a lot of new chefs.
There, I always get jealous of people who got to work there. I never had a chance to, and I just imagine all the fun that would be there. South Beach has it down here in Miami, but it's at a different level in Las Vegas.
I wouldn't complain about South Beach either. I've been many times and I absolutely love it down there.
I had a great time and I still do. I still love going to all the hotels. I go every week. I'm in the hotels just seeing what's going on. Yeah. But for you, look, this is an interesting time for you in your career as we get on your journey. You've been with Four Seasons 16 years. Mm-hmm. And shocking to me because a lot of Four Seasons people don't leave once they get to this level.
Yeah.
You end up leaving to become the general manager at the Waldorf Astoria Orlando, which I've stayed at many times, actually. So I've actually stayed with you without us knowing each other. How do you make that decision? Because you could have become, all right, the next GM of a Four Seasons. Do you get recruited from this? Is it something that you wanted to go do? Because that is a great property, but that's a big difference from what you've been doing.
Yeah, that, again, it was a little bit of recruit the same way. Was just interested in trying something new. Again, 16 years, and I was in Vegas. I really enjoyed it there. Loved the company, but I wanted to see and do something a little bit different and try a different company. Heard a lot, obviously, Hilton all along the way is again, one of the most respected hotel companies in the world. Waldorf Astoria and the luxury and how they were continuing to develop their luxury brands was exciting for me. And then I met and had a very long conversation with the managing director of the Bonnet Creek Resort, which is where the Waldorf Astoria lies. And we just hit it off so well. I said, I've got to work for this guy. So I went to go work at Waldorf and really was able to, you know, bring it up to 4-star Forbes and accomplish quite a bit and felt very fulfilled in what I was able to do. And again, along the way, developing the team as I developed the hotel and the culture in it.
Now, coming from Ritz-Carlton and Four Seasons, right? You have a very good amount of luxury skills you've learned. And Hilton, like you said, is a great brand, but is not considered all the time on that level. Was it a little bit of culture shock when you changed after 16 years? Like, whoa, I got to really train up. Or was it something that was like, all right, there's a good talent here and we're going to be able to do it. What was that like for you when you first became general manager at that hotel?
Yeah. There was definitely going to be a train up for it. But again, I love to challenge myself. And I think that was probably part of my reasoning to go is, you know, Waldorf and being part of getting Waldorf and developing its name and getting it, you know, out into the public place and again, training a team and really getting them to understand and embrace luxury was a challenge for me. And I thoroughly enjoyed it.
And so what was it like there, you know, as part of the Disney resort, right? As part of the campus or has the affiliation, what was it like working with Disney, another great brand? Did you get to really interact with them a lot or was it really kind of separate? What was it like for you there?
Yeah, it was more separate. I mean, obviously we became an official Disney hotel during my tenure while we were there. And so the partnership was certainly there. And a lot of the guests that came into the resort were coming for Disney, but you know, the luxury guest isn't that guest that comes in and, you know, wants to be there at opening and closes the park down. They want to come in when they and join the park at a time that's convenient for them. They want to spend a few, you know, several hours, maybe 5-6 hours, and then they want to get out and come sit by the pool and then do it over again the next day. And so it isn't about, you know, the breakneck kind of course that some are on to just really, you know, enjoy every single moment of the parks. I think our luxury guests want to get out a little bit and enjoy their vacation as well as immersing themselves in all of the parks and what they offer.
So Sean, are you telling me you don't get there at line drop every morning and then do fireworks at night at midnight? That's not you?
No.
All right. So I want to hear a little bit more about the Waldorf because you're there for 6 years.
Yeah.
What were some of the things that you maybe are most proud of from that property of what you did there? What was something that really stands out in your mind? Because I know there's a lot of memories I have of the different properties. Is there a couple, like one or two that really stand out for you?
Yeah, a lot. But I think if I just pinpointed two or three, I would say the first and foremost is developing a people culture within the hotel and seeing the passion and watching how the team developed along and through and watching a lot of these really key promotions that happened within the resort while I saw these professionals developing more about the luxury eye and really delivering that full-time luxury service and anticipation of the needs and watching our satisfaction score rise, watching the service levels rise, engaging and building a very loyal following within our guest profile at the Waldorf. I think that was probably one of the biggest or two of the largest impacts for me. And then I think the overarching, what all that led to was, you know, getting that award from Forbes for a four-star resort.
That's amazing. That is amazing. You know, to do that in any property is hard, especially at one of that size. And in Orlando, it really just shows the kind of leader that you are. And yeah. So you're a highly successful leader there. You're at the Waldorf Astoria, a great property. You can stay there, I'm sure, as long as you wanted. But then something happens. Another opportunity arises. Yeah. And we now follow the story to where you are today as the general manager of the Conrad Orlando. Where does that come from? Because this is a major project. This isn't just another standalone Conrad that people have in their mind. And before you say, I want listeners, if you're not driving, pause this. Go to Conrad Orlando on your phone and look at this beach paradise they've created in the middle of Orlando, a gigantic lagoon that my mind still doesn't wrap around. And so now that you've seen that, Sean gets to lead this property. And do you get there pre-opening? Have you been there since pre-opening?
Yeah, I started about almost 19 months before the property opened. So I was, I guess, employee number one. And employee number two is our director of sales and marketing. And we basically brought in an assistant director of sales and you know, an admin to keep us all organized and assistant director of marketing. And the five of us for the better part of a year were the only ones, you know, kind of running the hotel opening and getting it prepared. And, you know, in a hotel opening, you need to fill it. So, you know, group guests are the ones that we go after first, hence bringing in a sales team. And, you know, from there, it was really just about going through the plans, meeting with the designers and the contractors on a daily basis and ensuring that, the hotel was coming together the way it needed to come to. And as you had alluded to, it's part of a larger Evermore Orlando resort that, you know, has a 17 million gallon 8-acre freshwater lagoon right down the middle of it. And then vacation rental, you know, 4-bedroom, 4-bath flats, kind of apartment style, and 69 5-to-11 bedroom homes and villas. And then obviously at, you know, right at that north shore of the lagoon is Conrad Orlando. But I kind of, my commute coming into the Waldorf passed by this hotel every single day. So I watched it being built and said, you know, that might be an interesting product to get involved with and endeavor, I guess. And opening my fourth hotel was something I said, well, you know, I like the challenge, so let's go for it. So I started and never looked back and have had an incredible journey through, you know, hard hats and, you know, a PPE and a construction zone all the way up to where it is today and what it looks like today, and continuing to, you know, mature the resort and stabilize the resort, not only from the hotel itself, but being part of a larger group that, you know, develops and creates awareness of all of Evermore Orlando Resort. It's a very unique destination. It's a very unique hotel to not only this market within Orlando, but I would say, unless you're on a beach resort, probably unique to a lot of other areas within Florida and even the country. Having this, you know, 20 acres of beach and fresh water that you can kayak on top of, you can, you know, get on paddle boards. We have all kinds of on and in water activities that we do and activations all throughout the resort, and two championship golf courses and a world-class spa. Just there's so much that we've been able to put together and provide for the guests that are coming to see us. And it's been, you know, very prideful for me, or a tremendous amount of pride I've taken just watching that, not only the hotel develop and the resort as a whole develop, but the team within it, and watch them grow and continue to promote throughout the hotel, promote whether that's, you know, a promotion outside the hotel or a promotion within the hotel. We've been fortunate, even in our first year, to have a significant amount of promotions and second year as well.
That's amazing. So look, this place is a mega resort is how I like to say it. And you have to be in charge of all of this. And we like to say, you know, you inspect what you expect. How do you end up doing that at your property?
Well, inspect what you expect is the key phrase in this business. And it's really just about getting out, walking around and seeing what's happening in the resort, whether it's, you know, things that you have to get involved for constructive feedback, or if it's things that are going extremely well, or things we want to change from a aesthetic point of view. You really got to get out and about and see what's happening. If you don't do that, you're really not going to be successful running at a resort, especially a resort in its opening phases and all the way through it. You can't just assume, oh, everything's going well. It doesn't happen that way.
Yep. And so as you're leading this, right, because you have a lot of listeners that are up and coming leaders or hotel managers like you used to be, they want to become general manager of a big place like this.
Yeah.
Are you leading through a lot of meetings? Are you leading with through one-on-ones? Are you going just through the property and what, making sure you schedule that walkthrough every day? What is your style to be able to do that?
All of the above. I think the key is to make sure they're all equally measured and not get bogged down with too many meetings. And of course, there are, you know, quite a few that come up onto the calendar, but making the time every day to get out and walk around. And walking around is looking at the physical plant, as I had mentioned earlier, but really a lot of walking around is engaging with the guests, engaging with the groups that we have and the group contacts that we have throughout the resort and staying engaged with that. But it's also the team members and making sure that, you know, they have the tools that they need to succeed and the training and the development, and all of the leaders within the hotel are on that same path of developing their teams to be successful and to grow their careers. And I think it's the balance between all of the above and making sure that you make time for each of those. And I think there is where success starts to happen, not only for, you know, a hotel or a resort, but success really is about the guest experience. And more important than that, the team member experience, those that have their, you know, rubber meeting the road and are really engaged with our guests fully and completely all the time, they're the ones that you want to make sure that they have those tools and the training and the support behind them to gain that confidence and again to continue to grow their careers.
Yeah, I love that. And so I hear how passionate you're about your team and helping them grow. You know, a lot is changing over the last 2 years with technology, and now AI is all over the place, and you see in a lot of other industries a lot of layoffs. And I've been saying, hey, a lot of those layoffs may come over to hospitality because we still need people. But how do you look at all the tech and changes that are happening for your team and for guests? Is that something on top of your mind?
Yes, for sure. I mean, you know, AI is one of those areas of tech that we're you know, keeping our eye on. And, you know, Hilton as a company is hyper-focused on, you know, what are some of the things that we can do to utilize to make the team members' jobs easier. The easier you can make the job for a team member, regardless of what position they're in, the more time that they can focus on the guests that are here in the hotel, which is what we want, and building those relationships with our guests and creating that loyalty that comes with having the time to spend time with our guests. And I think a lot of that technology helps in that direction, including AI, which again is you know, picking up speed very quickly. And I'm excited to see what and how that continues to evolve within the industry and certainly within the hotel. As far as layoffs and things like that, I mean, travelers still want to travel. They still want to get out, whether they're coming to meet with you know, their company, or whether they're getting out and trying to decompress from the normal everyday life of work and school and, you know, all of the things that come along with that. But I think travel isn't going to go away. And I think from there, it's ensuring that our team members have that, again, ability to continue to evolve and develop and gain that confidence to to build those relationships with our guests. Because really, you know, the guests that come to Travelers, they want to build memories. They want the memories of spending time with their family on spring break or summer or during the holidays over Christmas or New Year's Eve or whatever it might be. And I think that's, for me, where we want to make sure that we continue to be relevant for our guests.
I love it. I think that's a great response. You talked about traveling and people continuing to travel. You know, your hotel, you have a lot of competition in Orlando. Right? I think of Orlando, I think, man, there's so many resorts and so many places to stay. What have you seen has been something that's really attracted people to your property? Is it the mix of the lagoon and vacation rentals and hotel? What has it been that you think is really helping you all stand out?
Well, I think I said earlier how unique we are. I mean, we are a luxury hotel and there are luxury guests that come to Orlando. And when they do, they have a choice of where they would like to stay from a hotel. And for us, it's not only just being a luxury hotel, but making sure that we are providing not only accommodations and excellent food from our 5 outlets that we have on property, but it's also about making sure that they have a place where they use as a sanctuary and they don't necessarily have to be at the parks all the time. You know, I think when we were developing the entire resort, we were talking a lot about, you know, we want to own the off day because everyone needs a day off, especially in the luxury guest portfolio. They don't want to be in the parks every single day. It's exhausting. So we wanted to own the off day. I think what we have found in this resort, because of so many things that we've provided for our guests to be able to do on a daily basis and throughout the day and experience, I don't think we're owning the off date. I think more often than not, the off day is actually at the parks. We find that a lot of our guests are here 2-3 days with us and then one day at the park or maybe 2. So for that, I think that's a victory in and of itself that we're able to provide all of these activations and all of these things for our guests to enjoy the resort like it's just its own destination. And I think that was our goal starting out from the very beginning, and we were able to accomplish that. And from there, we just want to continue to grow upon that. And we constantly are thinking about different things to provide for our guests and find things that make them want to stay and make them want to spend their time here, despite them initially wanting to come here as part of a vacation to the parks.
I love it. And you can tell that you're thinking about it because, you know, we were talking backstage. I hope I can mention this, Yoshan. Maybe we're breaking some news here.
Yeah.
You're doing
yeah.
such a good job with the guests. Can you share with the listeners what is going on? What did you just get awarded here?
Yeah, we've been very fortunate. You know, we've got, as I said earlier, it's all about, you know, the team. And the team has worked really hard from day one to make this resort second to none and make this resort something that is just spectacular for our guests. And a lot of that is the service that we provide. It's a beautiful product. If you ever, you know, if your listeners have a chance to look at it online and see not only Conrad Orlando, but the broader Evermore Orlando resort that it's part of, it's a stunning resort. But the service delivery is where the memories are really captured. And it's that anticipation that we have of what our guests might be looking for here at the resort and delivering upon it confidently. And with that service only continues to evolve and not only in our satisfaction scores that we've had, but several of the accolades we've been able to, you know, acquire and achieve along the way. And we just in 2025 were awarded AAA 5 Diamond for the resort and Forbes 4-star for the hotel and resort as well. So, you know, again, some incredible accolades of service and product delivery that I'm so proud of the team for getting and working hard towards. We were also in our spa awarded Forbes 4-star. And for the second year in a row, Spas of America rated the top 100 spas all throughout America. And we're in the top 20 for the second year in a row. So, again, very proud of the team and the spa and what they're able to accomplish every day. And you know, that's an area where you want guests to fully relax and decompress And they do an absolutely outstanding job doing exactly that.
Well, I'm going to say congratulations to you, Sean, because I know how hard it is to get those awards and how hard it is to achieve that. And you have to hold the line, but also support the team and make sure they have everything they need to deliver those things to the guests. And to be awarded those is a tremendous honor for your property, and especially just in year two that you're open now. So that's amazing.
We just celebrated our second anniversary on January 9th. So very excited for this year.
Congratulations. So let's talk about that. I'm not asking for your five-year plan of what you're excited about, but what are you most excited about in the coming year? Let's say, what are you most excited about?
I think the biggest thing I would say is that is exciting is for me watching and continuing to take a brand new hotel and, you know, watch it mature. It has matured tremendously in, you know, two very short years of opening. It will continue to develop and mature even more so. You know, accolades along the way are fantastic because it's a recognition of all of the hard work that our team members put into this hotel, the resort, on a daily basis. But I also seeing how the actual physical product continues to mature and develop and all of the different activations. You know, our team is so passionate and they are constantly looking to what do we do to wow a guest even more? And what do we do to raise the bar every single day? And as we look to the things and the offerings that we have throughout the resort, how do we continue to evolve upon that? And I'm excited to see how that continues to evolve. And then for sure, I'm excited to see as our team leaders and, you know, mid-level leaders all the way up to senior leaders continue to develop themselves and find new avenues and new positions within their career and grow their careers tremendously.
I love that. So it sounds like an exciting year ahead. Yeah. And so last question, because I know you got to go and make sure you're running this award-winning resort. A last question for you, Sean.
Sure.
You could go back and whisper into young Sean's ear over at the Pentagon City. What would you advise Sean? What advice would you give him if he was starting today?
Well, I think it was advice that I received very early on. I will tell you that, you know, my mom was also in corporate business, not in hospitality, but up through advertising. And she would say to me constantly, you know, don't just settle for the job that you're doing. Do your job that you're doing very well and to its fullest extent, but act for the job that you want. Make sure that you are accomplishing the things that you need to do on a daily basis and a monthly and yearly basis for your current role, but look to what you can get involved with in the role that you're looking for next. And I think if you're looking forward towards that, you will find ways to continue to grow your experience outside of what I would call, you know, the circle, right? Here's the job you're in, push yourself out and your circle will grow even more. And I would say that would be one I constantly whispered to myself. And then the other, as I was coming up and through, and I started in leadership positions and all the way through, is I always ask myself two questions. What could I have done differently? And what could I have done better? And I think if you constantly ask yourself that question in your interactions with guests, in your interactions with your fellow team members, you will undoubtedly continue to answer that question in a way that continues to grow that circle even more. And I think those are the two things of the many things that are out there that I would say have been very helpful for me along the way. And then the last would be make sure to never forget where you came from and consistently give back. And the give back is more of supporting, developing those that are also trying to follow in your footsteps.
I think that's great advice. You came in prepared here, Sean. That was amazing because especially the one of what can you do differently? How would I have done that differently? I think it's a great thing to ask yourself as you go through things. Because I'm going to use that as we're building our first hotel here down in Miami. I'll make sure to be doing that as well with our team. But Sean, listen, I appreciate you joining us. You shared so many great stories here with us. And listeners, if I found them to be great stories, I know you did too. So make sure, pause this, send this over to one of your friends because they're going to find some value in it too.
And of course, make sure to check out the Conrad Orlando if you haven't yet. It's a fantastic resort. I'm excited to go. I haven't been. I was embarrassed to tell Sean I hadn't been there yet, but I'm going to come up and see him. So make sure you do as well. Well, Sean, I appreciate you joining us. Thank you for being here.
It was my pleasure and truly, again, as I said earlier, truly an honor. Thank you.
This podcast is brought to you by Biscayne Coffee. Biscayne Coffee was founded with a giving spirit and a big idea to enjoy delicious coffee roasted in Miami while helping save Biscayne Bay and the animals that live there. As a former food and beverage director, I can assure you these are some of the best quality beans on the planet. 10% of every coffee sold is donated to nonprofits to help preserve Biscayne Bay for all to enjoy. Visit BiscayneCoffee.com today and use promo code MENTOR at checkout to save 10% on your first order. Drink good coffee and create a good outcome.